So if you didn't listen to them, you need to go back and listen to them. Hallelujah. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive.
Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Know the very essence of our being is what we remember today. Amen. Without his birth, without his service, without his crucifixion, and without his resurrection, we cannot be here. Hallelujah. We will be like them that do not have hope. But today, hallelujah. According to his word, true to his word, he is risen. Amen. And indeed, he is risen for you and I. Hallelujah. So that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We put perspective to the story of Easter. And it is important that all these events in the Bible, we get to understand them, how they happen. And we get to understand the very essence of why they happened. Amen. Whether it's black, it's white, is of no consequence. Hallelujah. You know, when you are in a company, you don't care whether the CEO is black or white. As long as he's giving you what makes life okay for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saying some things are not important. But some things are very fundamental. The Bible tells us in Matthew 23 and 23, says there are some weightier matters of the law. Not to say that these ones before are not weighty, but there are some that are weightier. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 28. I think Mr. Jerry read Luke, or somebody read account in Luke this morning. Was it yesterday? This morning. Matthew 28. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 7. It's now after the Sabbath. As the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Hallelujah. "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have told you." Hallelujah. I like this account of Matthew. He says in verse 6. Says he's not here, for he's risen as he said. Amen. come and see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah. First off, the angel made the sighting of where he lay. Simple for the women. He rolled away the stone. And it was not at that point that Christ rose. Oh, don't make a mistake. It's not when he rolled away the stone that Christ rose. No, he had risen. But the angel rolled away the stone and said, come and see. Hallelujah. So no obstacles in you believing. No obstacles in you believing that he's risen. He said, he's not here. He's risen. Look at it again. Let's see it again. Hallelujah. He says, now as the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Okay? His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. There's only one angel that has that description. Hallelujah. And I was born on the day of that angel. So in case you see my eyes like it's lightning. You know, when I was growing up, I went to Catholic church school. And so we celebrated all those days. So every day on my birthday, we celebrate St. Angel Michael's Day. Hallelujah. So I'll give you two answers. Two answers in one. One is the name of this angel, and two is my birthday. I've given you. So go and find out in the Michael's Day. Hallelujah. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. So he came and he rolled back the stone. Okay, he caused an earthquake and he rolled back the stone, and certain events happened. And he said, don't be afraid. I know that this is who you are looking for. And so that you may know that he's not here, he's risen. He says, see where he lay. Hallelujah. Don't go looking for Christ where he is not. And don't go looking for help where you cannot find it. Hallelujah. True to his word. That's what the angel said. As he has said, true to his word, he's risen. So, one thing. When God speaks to you, and I'm not saying that he's going to come to you and say, my son, today is the day that I made. No, he's not. He's probably not going to say that. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what happened to me during the week. I asked someone to do something for me. I told him to go replace a certain device. Please go there 7:30 in the morning and be sure you do that. That's what I told him. And when I woke up, in my spirit, I perceived. God said, take this second device, put it in your car. Because this person that you have sent on this errand is not going to deliver. So, that morning, as I was about going to work, I just packed everything. I packed it and I put it in my car and I went. And I called the guy, I said, don't worry, I'm on my way, blah, blah, blah. I was wondering. I said, God doesn't make mistakes. Hallelujah. He doesn't. When he says it, he will do it. I said, he doesn't make mistakes. So I just left it. It wasn't, it's the car that will suffer the thing that's in the boot. It's not me now. So by the time it was 12 noon, the person I sent him to called that he has not seen him. His phone is not going through. When it was 2 p.m., I tried calling him myself. I couldn't get him. So during my break time, I got up. And I went. And when I got to the door of that person, the person I sent on errand called me. I said, sir, I will not be able to make it today. Hallelujah. There's nothing that will catch you by surprise, so as it leads you to God. Yes, sir, I'm not going to be able to make it today. I slept off, blah, blah, blah. And I smiled. Because God had already gone ahead. And when he went ahead, he gave me simple instruction. Like Victoria pointed out to us in Sunday school. He said they should sit in 50s. Right? Sit down in 50s. So he gave me simple instruction. And when I was carrying out that instruction, I was feeling, because I knew the stress I would go through to go and do that thing on my own. Okay? But I was happy I listened. Because when I got to, when I got to the doorstep of the person, when he called me, I was so furious. I was just like, how can you be so predictable? And it wasn't him. It was just because God told me the secret. So when I finished it and I left, I was happy. So when I got to the person, I said, well, I said, so are you going to be the one to do this? I said, this is what I'm trained for. I can do it, don't worry. And I did it and I left. And I said, this is what happened. God told me that this is going to happen and I did this. So I saw the boy I sent on errand yesterday. I saw him, I met him yesterday at a particular location. And he was apologizing that, sir, I'm sorry. God, okay, so the following day he went, said, sir, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, don't worry. God told me you will not go. And that's why I went. I said, sir, you're a pastor. That's not the point. I could have just left those things at home. And I would have come back and be like, why? And he was telling me in the morning, why did I not do it? No. He says, the angel said that as he has said, that's what he has done. Hallelujah. Don't take the words of God for granted. First Corinthians 15. I'm going to take verses 17 and 19. First Corinthians 15. I'll come back to this angel, my birthday mate. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read verse 17. It says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men the most pitiable. Hallelujah. Therefore, there is a purpose for which Christ rose from the dead, and there is a power made available to you and I through his resurrection. I'm not reading that from the Bible. Because it's well-constructed English. It's in my notes. That's why I read it. Hallelujah. In case you are looking for it in your Bible, it stops at pitiable. That if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most pitiable. Because then what are we talking about? Life eternal. What are we talking about the year after? If it's only in this life, that's what he's saying. And if it's not risen, then all that we are talking about is futile. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. And all those songs. Agbara give at Agbara Oluwa ni. We don't be able to sing it though. Hallelujah. Ko sagbara to dabi ti Jesus. O sagbara to dabi ti baba.
O sagbara to dabi ti Jesu. Agbara, agbara, agbara to dagbara lo.
Agbara kibati.
Agbara Oluwa ni. Agbara. Told you agbara lo. Agbara nla. Agbara kibati. Agbara Oluwa ni. Agbara nla. Agbara.
Hallelujah. That's when we have boldness and the confidence to say that there is no power on earth compared to his power. It's even an insult to compare it. Hallelujah. It's like when, if you compare myself and my son when he was, not now, now he can contend. When he was still a boy, a small boy, and I was still carrying, an insult. You can't. There's no line of comparison. You can't compare God's power with any other thing that you think you call power. Hallelujah. It's the absence of God that makes those things look like they have power. Just like the absence of light brings darkness. The absence of heat is what causes cold. Hallelujah. If you want anything to be cold, what do you do? You go and put it where? In the fridge. And what's the principle of the fridge? It extracts heat. That's what it does. It extracts heat. So when there is no heat, you have cold. Hallelujah. God is awesome, faithful to his word. He says in Philippians chapter 3, from verse 4. It says, though I also might have confidence in flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in flesh, I am also circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he's telling you that if you want to be comparing all those, that's Paul talking. Or writing rather. He's saying if you want to talk about the law, he's an authority. If you want to talk about zeal, he's him. Okay? He's saying concerning righteousness, which is the law, is blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Hallelujah. Yet indeed I also count all these things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and then he says from verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Hallelujah. Amen. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to know the power of his resurrection? That is Paul's primary desire. So even as we celebrate, you know, I mean, everywhere is happy. In fact, I didn't know they used to greet happy Good Friday. Is this age that on Good Friday we used to be sober, very sober, and then we wait for 3 p.m. That's how we grew up. We wait for 3 p.m. because 3 p.m. it will be dark. And did you notice it was dark yesterday? God bless you. On Friday. You didn't notice. So that time when I was growing up, they used to tell us, why did they say? He said that when he was crucified, the rent, Abby, and then there was darkness. Hallelujah. So it's not that I know that it's Happy Good Friday. I didn't know before. So Paul wanted to do two things. One was to know him. And the other thing was to know the power of his resurrection. Knowing God is more important than wisdom, strength, and riches. That's why he counted all those things. If you are talking about the law, if you are talking about this, he said all these things I forgo so that I may know him. Because that's the crux of the matter. That's the important thing. And the power of his resurrection. If Christ died, he went into the belly of the earth and for 3 days, and then he made an open show of the devil, rendering him utmostly useless. He said he made an open show of him. You need to understand that. Okay, so what is in that for me? Hallelujah. You know, oftentimes we act strangely. When our parents say some things, our parents do certain things on our behalf. Okay? They see ahead of time. And they begin to put certain things in place that when you get to that point, you just move into it seamlessly. That's what they do. Okay? So they try their very possible best to give us the best and lay every foundation and lay every foundation for us, okay, so that we can ride on it seamlessly. What is the best example I can give? It's not coming to me. So basically, that's what Christ did. Okay? So knowing God is more important than wisdom, strength, or riches. And then, don't admire people for those qualities that you see, wisdom, strength, and riches. No. It's not worth anything. Because those things do not stand the test of time. Amen. They don't. So, wisdom will fail. Like money is failing in this age and time, money will fail. Riches will fail. Hallelujah. What will remain is that quality that is strictly resonance with the quality of God. Amen. So if you look at people and say, because this man is rich, you are adhering to him. The day that riches goes away, you are going to move away. And that, you know, when we were reading in Luke this morning, chapter 9, he talked about the fact that who do the crowd say I am? And who do you say I am? Hallelujah. That's how we should live life. I'm not saying don't have people that you look up to, no. But be sure that there is a strong foundation in you for everything that you are doing and is anchored in God. Because that's the only foundation that will stand. Amen. Hallelujah. And look at what Jesus said in John chapter 17. Because that's the desire of Paul that he told us that I may know him. John 17. Let me read from verse 1. He says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, so Jesus is speaking, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Hallelujah. John 3:16. Says John 3:16. You know me, I'm not giving to. I didn't do a cursory when I was. You know a cursory.
I know Mr. Sajay will confuse. I did do memory verse when I was young. I did do akosori. So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hallelujah. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Amen. There is knowing that there is an acquaintance. Hallelujah. There is knowing, and there's been acquainted to. So if he sent his son, that you have everlasting life. It's not enough that God sent his son. That's what he means. What he means is that he has made available to you that channel through which you can get eternal life. And now the channel, the son that he sent, is saying that, you know what? This is life eternal. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So the access to the eternal life is you and I knowing God and Jesus Christ that he sent. Hallelujah. It says the grace of God has arrived to all men, but not all men will take advantage of that grace. It's available to all men. Amen. You know, when we were growing up, was fruit tree. I don't know that kind of the normal fruit, the one that is either red or white. That fruit, this one that is here, is it that one they call it? Yeah, I just know it as fruit. Anywhere you see that tree, you're always happy. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you see that, and it grows wild, okay. So in the school compound, we have that tree. My school, it's not this kind of school that is around these days. My school had big compound. We had a standard football field, okay? Apart from the school itself, there's standard football field. The secondary school I went to had two standard football fields. If you, it's bigger than this stadium that is the one at Gigio, where my school field is bigger. So I'm just telling you how big it was. So we had that tree in the school compound. And each time the tree bears fruit, it's available to all of us. Everybody, and there were not, there's not one, not two, there were three or four. It's available, so every student just goes there. Some will stay in the class. Then when you are going, and get me fruit. Now because of you, I come. It's not possible now. So when we get there, we stay under the tree. The ones that has fallen, we take time, we look at them. It's not bad. It's okay. We go wash them. We eat. Then we look up the tree. I see the ones that you see this one that if this one should fall. The way it is, you know, the way it will be round, you know that if you hold your hand on, if you bite this one, oh God. So you are not going to, you are, when you see it, I'm telling you that the grace of God has appeared to all men. Eh? When you see it, you make all the conscious effort within you. Mr. Sajiri, we don't throw sticks. Because if you throw stick, it will fall anyhow. That's when we learn to climb. Climb as close as you are. I know you don't pluck. You gently tap. Somebody is down there. So that when it falls, you know when it falls, small, small stones will enter. You have to, you don't want to lose that part of the you don't want to lose any part of the fruit. This is how you should take the grace of God that has appeared to all men, that everybody is now looking like, what's it now? They are taking everything for granted. If you only we apply the same passion to the things that we think are dear to us, this is far, permit me all of you, this is far more dearer than all those things that we think are dear to us. This grace that he has given to us, and this son that is risen today, that we celebrate, is far more important than any other thing. On Thursday, we were looking at the tree of knowledge. That tree is not tree of good and evil. Oh, don't make a mistake. It's a tree of the knowledge. And then the second tree is a tree of life. Two different things. The second tree is not the tree of knowledge of life. Hallelujah. One is about knowledge. And that's why the Bible tells you that knowledge puffs up. When you acquire so much knowledge and you are not careful, as good as it is, it puffs up. Then you begin to be like, what is it now? If 2 times 2 is 4, then this and this, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Trinity cannot be one. That's when knowledge becomes a problem. It puffs up. Hallelujah. And then we also read in Revelation chapter 2 that he said, if you have here, let me read it so that I will not be in error. Revelation 2:17. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give. Sorry. So to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Wait, I missed this though. I think it's verse 7. No. Hold on. Yes. Sorry, it's verse 7. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To who he overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible tells us that he who overcomes is he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So even here Jesus is saying, eternal life is that you may know him. So it is imperative that we understand and to know him. Hallelujah. You know that we will stand in error if all of us say we know Mr. Sajeri. If we are acquainted with Mr. Sajeri, we can say that. You know, English is very difficult. You say we are acquainted with him to an extent. The people that can tell you that they know him are the people that live with him and grew up with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So Mrs. Ajere can tell us that she knows him. Like she always often says that you don't know divine, no. I know him. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know my mother. If you all of us, if you greet my mother and you don't put ma, there's a problem. So when I got married, before I got married, I told my wife, I said, every other thing you can do, but this one thing, every sentence that you finish when you are speaking to her, please ma. And so when my children started growing up, hey, grandma, 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 I said, these children, they will make mistake, oh, great grandma, ma. Because she doesn't just joke with it. It's just her. It's not about you not understanding that you're your grandchildren. Even me, as I am like this, I cannot. If I carry the phone and say, "Mommy, a cousin," "Olumiwa," he say, "Olumiwa," "Ogao." That's what she will say. So I know. So if somebody else approaches her and doesn't say, "Ma," my mom will find a way to let that person know that she must end her sentence with ma. So the next time the person sees her, she will now be in error if she doesn't do the ma. Hallelujah. even the ones, the Durowo Jews that are in diaspora, the ones that are Oyinbo amongst us, when, in fact, they understand this our culture more than even my children. The first time my brother-in-law saw them, they came, I think they've been to church before, you saw them, yeah. They were not born here. By the time they came, I think one was 13, the other was, they were advanced in age. But the very first time my brother-in-law saw them, the girl was kneeling on two knees, the son was prostrating till his chest was, I told my brother, even if you grew up like this, they were like that. That's how we grew up. So if you want to know us, that's how you will know us. When you say you know somebody, you can tell to the very last what that person expects and wants in any circumstance. So if he's saying that you should know him, you have to look at what coming home. I'm looking for a particular passage. I don't have it here. But so Christ also mentioned, know God and know Christ. Okay? So the first step in knowing him is that you put your faith in him, believing that he's the Son of God, and believing that this resurrection we celebrate today actually took place, and he made you a new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. And then also, you spend time in prayer. If you want to know him, you need to spend time in prayer. When you see God's hand in what you are doing, he's revealing himself to you. Hallelujah. So when we read the story of Anna this morning, we mentioned that each time she went, each year they were going to Shiloh, and Penina was tormenting her or whatever she was doing to her, Anna just was weeping and was following whatever Penina was doing. Okay, and then she will go sad, and then she will come back empty-handed. But the year she decided, and I am not going to go to Shiloh and come back empty-handed, she disregarded all the torment that Penina was giving her, and stood before God, and spoke with God. Hallelujah. Now, if some of you say, am I saying that she was not speaking with God before all those years? It was a different approach. This time, when she got answer, it was a different approach. So much so that even the priest looked at her and said, there's something amiss. It's not normal the way this woman is talking to God. Like, she drunk. Like, woman, calm down. Don't come and pollute the house of God. Don't come drunk. Because she had a different countenance and a different approach to talking to God. The Bible says, like I said in the morning, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Your fervency will be seen when you are praying. Not only you will feel it. The people around you will know that there's something different. Hallelujah. So if you will know him, you start from the place of believing. And you start from the place of also understanding that you must spend time in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Then also listen as you pray. Listen as you read the Bible. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to come this morning, and I didn't. That's why I'm not repeating myself. The choir did a wonderful job. But oftentimes, when you ask people what happened on Good Friday, even though there's no Good Friday in the Bible, but what happened? Some people will not be able to tell you. Say, what happened at the Last Supper? Some people will not be able to tell you. Don't be like Mr. Sajere that's sharing chicken that he said that. A sharing chicken that said that cartoon that he said. Don't be like Mr. Sajere. Hallelujah. When you ask people questions, because if you understand the sequence of these things, you'll be able to, by the help of the Spirit, put perspective to it and get it deep in your system that this is what happened. From last Sunday when they said Hosanna to the Son of David, hallelujah, to the point of after the Last Supper, when Judas left, and said, go quickly and do what you want to do. And then he came back with them to arrest him. And then they took him to Pilate, and Pilate sent him to Herod. And you know, when he got to Herod, you know what Herod said? I've been wanting to meet this man who, and then he sees him before me, free of charge. But he said, I cannot see why this any, what has he done? Because they were Romans, and these are Jews. So he has not contravened any of the Roman law. He sent it back to Pilate. But he was happy that he had that encounter with Christ. So imagine that the Pharisees, teachers, okay, what they despised, Herod wanted it so dearly. Just to be with him and just to see him and say, I've heard so much. He said, I've heard so much about you. And then by the time he went back to Pilate, I cannot see anything wrong. So you can see that Christ is standing. Some people are seeing on this side that is blasphemy. And then another person is seeing and said, you have not done anything wrong. I'm not telling you that in this life, everything is perspective. The same person, two different people, and they are seeing two different things. And then say, okay, according to your custom, okay, so what do you want me to do? Say, give us Barabbas. And what should I do to this one? The people that said Hosanna last week said, crucify him. Amen. And then his travails, the punishment started. And he ended up on the cross. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says that if the rulers of this age, if they had known what they were doing, they would not have allowed him to be crucified. The rulers of it, they are not the Roman Catholics, the Roman soldiers. They are not the ones. It's those ones that rule the darkness. That's what he's referring to. And that's why you should not ascribe any power to the devil. Amen. You know, people often distract you from reading the Bible and tell you that, maybe this one is the Bible. This one is distraction. If the devil so understood the Bible, tell you that the Bible understood the Bible. If the devil so understood the Bible or God's word, he would not have let Christ be crucified. If the devil so understood that we give him so much power, he would not have allowed him to be born. When he saw that he missed it, he had been born, he started looking for him now, Abby, that he must kill him. Hallelujah. But you know that is a problem. That means he did not understand how the kingship of Christ will be. He thought that killing him would make sure that he did not rule. Hallelujah. So from that tender age of like 2 or 3 years, when they took him and he ordered that every male child that was born 2 years below should be killed. So in his mind, he felt that if he ended that life, that's when he would destroy God's plan. Not knowing that if he wanted to kill him, that's when God's plan will be accomplished. Hallelujah. So to him, sending him to the cross was like overcoming God. But to God, sending him to the cross is liberation for you and I. And that's the power that he has given to us. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot play that you know God. It has to be that you are rubbing your minds with him. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1. So it's important that we know him, okay? We pray, we spend time in prayer, put our faith in him, and of course, listen and pray as we read the Bible. Please don't read the Bible like a magazine. You know, when I was growing up, all this Premier League that we are watching now, we used to read it as comics. Roy of the Rovers. Did you read Roy? Did you see that comic, Roy of the Rovers? I know now, because you are not meat. Yes, now. Where did you grow up? You were worried. I was, they can't be, you can't have access. That's what I'm saying now, that you are not now. So we used to read Roy of the Rovers. In Roy of the Rovers, we will see, man, you will see all those things. Until I started giving birth, because I now traced that. So this is what they have been telling us, showing me in cartoon scenes. It actually existed. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, what I'm saying is that you need to listen as you pray and read the Bible. So you don't read the Bible as you are reading comics. You read the Bible to glean from the Bible. Say, once you get a scripture, know that scripture, there is something in it that you must get from it. And don't let it go until that light floods your heart. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read verse 18. This is Paul's prayer, okay? It says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. Verse 20 says, which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. That is the power of his resurrection. Paul said, let me read verse 18 again. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let me just read verse 19 so you get it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Hallelujah. This power we are talking about came as a result of his resurrection. That's what 5:30 is saying. So without the resurrection, we can't be talking about any power. Now that we can't be talking about the depth of his love, the depth or the height of his love. No. He said he walked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And put him, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 4. So, without much ado, everybody has access to this power, because this power is made available by virtue of his resurrection. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, let me just read it from verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Amen. The power of his resurrection is because of our justification. Hallelujah. So that when we are proclaiming Christ, there is a justification for doing so. Amen. Hallelujah. He died as an necrotic sacrifice for our sins, and he was raised to life, and his resurrection is absolutely vital. That's what we've read in Ephesians 1, verse 20. Absolutely vital. Because by his resurrection, that power is made available. Amen. So you can see that we have power on every side. When he was leaving, he said, to them that believe, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Okay? He now said, as many as we preach the gospel, these signs shall follow them. Amen. That believe. And saying here, that you know what? This resurrection made that power possible, available. And I've said it, and we know it. That power being available, that power must be utilized. And you cannot utilize what you don't know that is there. First, you know that power is available. First, you know that power is there. Hallelujah. Know that it is available. So that different things. Okay? So when something is there and is available, there are different things. Hallelujah. And then when that power that is available, you ought to use it, utilize it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to end on this note so that we can go and kill chicken. So Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. So he's saying that if you say you know him, then you need to put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. So knowing him means that life that you live, which the Bible tells us, is no longer yours. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I read from verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the reason why the life you live is no longer yours, is finalized by the resurrection of Christ. Because he says, for him who died for them and rose again. Without that resurrection, then you can decide that this life is my own. Hallelujah. If he didn't resurrect, then because the fact that you are shedding off the old man is because he died and he rose. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, let me read it again. Let me read that verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. Without the resurrection, we won't have this ministry of reconciliation. There's nothing to present to the people. And so, he said it and it didn't happen. Hallelujah. But the resurrection finalizes everything and gives us that authority and that confidence to be ministers, reconciliation of men. Hallelujah. That's the ministry that has given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an apostle. All they have to know is understand the power of his resurrection, and you are a minister to reconcile men unto God. That is it. He says you don't impute their trespasses. You don't ask people sin before them and say, you are condemned. No. He said he didn't do it. And it's the same word that he has given to us. Amen. There is so much power in the resurrection that it takes you rubbing your minds with God, sitting down at his feet and reading the word and get it to understand that it is available. You only need to utilize it. Hallelujah. You know, if I switch off this microphone, you are going to struggle to hear me. There will be the power in the microphone, but I'm not utilizing it. Amen. So if I switch it off, the power is not available to use. Okay? If I switch it on and I direct it away from me, I still am not utilizing it. Hallelujah. Until I begin to use that which is available. That's when you'll be confident. Amen. That's when you'll be confident. I will close on this note. My father passed away, and I went for industrial attachment in the office where he worked before. And when nobody could relate that I'm his son. But when they saw my name, which is the name that we carry, or everybody, it's not my name that we carry, the name of Christ. When they saw my name, they said, "You are this man's son." I said, "Yes." They said, "You're Oga's son." I said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." And I was on 90 electrical work. So I will carry ladder. We carry the ladder. Go. We go. They were technicians, and I was supposed to be doing IT. So ordinarily, the person that allowed me to do IT, of course, knew that was my father. But the people that were working with him didn't know. So they say, you are assigned to Mr. Sajiri. So I go to Mr. Sajiri, and I say, okay, let's go. Then he give me a ladder to carry. I carry ladder. And then we come back. When we get there, he said, do this, I'll do it. Then you come, hey, so you come. So what's your name? I said, I'm so. You are this one's son? Yes, I'm a girl's son. You're a girl's son. The following day, the man will carry the ladder himself. I said, no. He will carry the ladder himself. When we get to where we want to walk, he will carry plier. And then I sit down. I said, this guy is missing it too. Because I will not learn anything, no. So the next day, the next time we are going out, once he says we are going out, I've put the ladder on my back. And the guy said, no, you put me. I said, no. My father has played his part. The name that he has made, I thank God for it. But if you do not allow me to do this thing and go through this, you will deny me that knowledge. But you know what Christ did? Christ bore everything for us. Hallelujah. And he handed it to us on a platter of gold. And he says, only thing I require of you is to believe that I am the Son of God, and you have access to eternal life. Don't be like me, that want to carry that ladder again and say that I want to go through. I mean, that what I did was not bad, though. But in relation to Christ, it's a done deal. He said what? It is finished. And when we were doing lesson this morning, we said God has no second version of the earth. He has no second version of creation. When he created what everything he will create, he created in 6 days and he rested. Everything that we are doing, we are picking from whatever he created. Hallelujah. And if you say there was no aeroplane then, don't be myopic. Everything that you use to make an aeroplane is taken from the ground. And God is not going to put anything again in the ground. They say water will disappear. Water is not disappearing. That volume is not changing. It can move from one place to another, but that the volume will change. It's not going to happen. Amen. Some may freeze. No wala. When it melts, it's the same volume of water. And don't be scared. He said, never again will I take care of this heart with water. So some of you say, there's going to be flooding. It's not going to destroy everybody again with water. His words are true. I will go back to Matthew 28. Let me end with the angel. When the choir was telling us, who was the one that told us the story of 2,000 years ago? Please come and repeat it. What did you say happened 2,000 years ago?
The prophet Isaiah gave a prophecy of a pure young woman who was going to give birth to the child of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. And this is 2023 AD. So let us believe that what I'm reading is AD, just AD, Abby. This is after death. It says, and behold, there was great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. There is no stone or any obstacle before any child of God. Hallelujah. He took the angel telling the women, see. He said, look, see. Hallelujah. If you look intently into the word of God, you will see what he has asked you to see. He said, the spirit searches out the spirit, the will of the Father. Yes, the deep things of God. He said his countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for the fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Hallelujah. He is not here. He is risen, as he has said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah. I know what he told them. He said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Amen. After his resurrection, we begin to happen. Amen. It's a done deal. He has resurrected. He says, go quickly and tell his brethren. Because is now your is you are going to move into your own dispensation. Hallelujah. After his resurrection, he has made power available. And he said, it's expedient that I go. Yes, so that the spirit will come. It is expedient that I go. And then you and I will begin to manifest for him. They tarry in Jerusalem until power descends upon you. Amen. After the resurrection of Christ, we are supposed to walk the face of the earth in that new capacity and dispensation. The power that is made available, utilize it. Hallelujah. There are no more stones to roll away. Yaka, yaka, yaka. All you need to do is look for him. Where he is. And where is he? He's seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Interceding on our behalf. and telling him, Father, I paid the price. Hallelujah. Amen. And that which is in our hand, we use. At the beautiful gate, Peter and John said, gold and silver we have none, but what we have, we give to you. Before the resurrection, they couldn't do that. The same Peter was timid when they were going to capture Jesus. Well, Jesus said, don't worry, I've prayed for you. So that when you have come back, you will strengthen your brothers. And when did he come back? He came back after the resurrection. And he was the one strengthening everybody. And he was the same Peter that said, gold and silver we do not have, but there's something on the inside of us. Hallelujah. That we know. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, doing miracles, you should know him and the power of his resurrection. That's all you need. There's no heavy prayer. When the prophet, if you didn't read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2 this morning, go and read it. When the prophet saw Anna and interrogated Anna, you know that he did not pray 1 hour prayer. It was just one sentence. That your petitions, may the Lord grant your petitions. No desire, no nothing. No passion, no nothing. Let your desires be according to the will of God. Let's rise on our feet this morning. Yes, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The angel says, go, indeed, you will see him. Hallelujah. And as we go, indeed, it will be manifest in every area of our life. Because we are going to make use of that available power. Whether you use it or not, he has made that power available. Because he rose again from the dead. Let us thank him that we walk in knowledge of what he has done for us. We walk in the power of his might and the power of the resurrection. No longer will we be ignorant, but right from right now on, we won't look for him among the dead. Hallelujah. We won't look for him among the dead. We look for him in heavenly places, looking closely and intently into the very law of life and the spirit. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we pray.